Good day, everybody.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 37 of the Good Day podcast, where Max and I talk about our adventures down under. You join us here in absolutely gorgeous Bly Bly. Another week here taking care of the chickens.
In the sunny coast.
And we would like, just to start out this podcast, congratulating Donald Trump for winning the election.
President Donald Trump.
President Donald Trump. And we are a bipartisan podcast, so we don't choose sides here. But I would just like to say that Kamala gave a great effort there. I am shocked. I really didn't think she would. It was just a really good effort from her team. I was shocked she got more than 10 votes. So great effort on her part.
Corey's been really impressed with her votes, though.
Yes, I didn't think it would be close, but congrats to Trump. He did it. He won. Yes, but that's all. Well, we had a lot of political talk this week with the pool guy and some other people.
Yeah. Guys, American politics run the world. You have no idea.
Yeah, everyone is tuned in, tapped, and turned on
to U.S. what's going on in the U.S. Yes. It affects them.
And we heard that the U.S. dollar already strengthened and Australian dollar stayed the same. So that means that we can spend more money here because the U.S. dollar is stronger. So everything gets cheaper here. Yay us.
Yay us.
Yes. And
time to travel, everybody.
Exactly. Time to go anywhere. And yeah, we've been enjoying this place a lot. The sunrise is here. So they don't do daylight savings. I know daylight savings was last week in the United States. So now we're 13 hours ahead of the US. But the sunrise is so early here. They don't do daylight savings.
It rises at 4:30 a.m. It wakes me up with a beautiful sunrise because we have an amazing view of the ocean in the distance over these farms.
Yeah.
And all I see is this orange light in the morning at 4:30 a.m. and I love it.
Yes, it's actually so nice to wake up. We've been waking up, like, the latest we get up is now 6. Like, yes. A lot of days we wake up at 5 and just start our day, and
yeah,
it's just so nice because it's so light out early. It's not that hot, and it's the best to do things because once it gets like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it gets wicked hot out.
Yes, we've been getting a lot done really early in the morning.
Yeah, just kind of checking things off. And then once it gets hot out, we kind of either just head to the beach, go for a swim, or relax in this house in the shade. And we got a nice little cross breeze up on this hill we're here at. Yeah, and we've been hanging out at the house a lot because, just to
Well, the pool is getting renovated. And we mentioned in the last podcast, Tim, the worker that we got introduced to, who was smoking weed with the owners.
Right.
He's on the toilet, Tim, that one. And Corey instantly decided to become his best friend. Like, he didn't even tell me where he was going, and I just hear him chatting with old mate outside. And yeah, he's spent probably hours now in the last week plus chatting with Tim.
I'm a man of the people, you know. We got a lot of common interests. Yeah, he was talking about, like, what we think of Trump and what he thinks. He's a real renegade character. He's a character for sure.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's great. He's actually not Australian. He's British.
Oh, I forgot that.
But he moved to Australia when he was, like, 10 years old or something like that. So he's been here for probably 50 years now, 40 years now, something like that.
And it's 11-11, make a wish.
Oh, make a wish, everybody?
Yeah, you guys make a wish, too.
But yes, Tim is really cool. And so the pool was filled up with, like, just like rainwater. It was not really too deep, but, like, while they were renovating the area around the patio, they just kind of let the pool water fill up, and that attracted tons of cane toads. And there are already so many cane toads around here, but Tim and I got to talking, and I told him that a lot of the fish I catch back home get shipped out to China. And there's, like, a weird relationship with Australia and China. They don't really like China, but their economy is, like, based off of China. So we were talking, and we were thinking of ways to sell these cane toads to the Chinese. Because there's so many people out there, and they basically eat anything. But the problem is with the cane toads is they're psychedelic and they're deadly psychedelic. So like if you lick the back of a cane toad, you'll have a crazy psychedelic trip and then you'll die. Or no, it's like,
I think like dogs can die. Yeah. Or no, not really. Just small dogs.
Small dogs can die. So it's like a really bad thing. So me and Tim were trying to market psychedelic mints. That's what they call ground beef down here.
Mints.
Yeah. So that's the business plan. If anyone wants to get in business with Tim and I selling psychedelic mints down here, hit us up.
It's better than the Aussies golfing with the toads.
Yeah, that's the other joke.
Because they love to kill these toads because they're very invasive and they're not supposed to be here. So, yeah, I guess mince them up if that's your business plan. And then Corey was talking to him about his business because he owns the pool company. And he told Corey that he cannot get any Australians to work. Like, no one works here. Another person standing 10 toes on our observation.
That nobody works. He was telling me that, like, he couldn't, if he got some, like, young kid to help him work, he would ask him to go, like, lift a bag of, like, concrete or something like that. And the kid would go, no, workers' rights. Like, you're not going to make me do that. Like, we have to do this together, so whatever. Just, like, no hard workers, no Australian hard workers, essentially, is what he was saying. And he said it's, like, impossible. And I was telling him about, like, I wanted to get a job as, like, a deckhand on, like, one of the ferries when we were on Magnetic Island. And he's like, oh, forget about it. You probably need 10 years of certifications to even walk on that boat.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I found was true. Like, no one would hire you without certificates on certificates on certificates.
They have a lot of regulations for jobs here. It's kind of odd. It's a little bit too much for a lot of these simpler jobs.
It's crazy, yeah.
And he said that most of the Australian workforce is run by international backpackers who are willing to work.
Yeah, he said, like, the Australian government hides it, but basically the backbone of the country is backpacker workers, like farming, mining, and all sorts of things that...
Hospitality.
Hospitality, yeah. Like, without those things, it would be really hard for the country to run. And now that they don't require British workers to do their international work to stay longer, then I think he said he thinks this is going to hurt the country.
Sure. Maybe. There's a lot of Argentinians taking their place.
Oh, my God. Millions of Argentinians here.
But besides that, we're living here on the sunny coast, going to the beach quite frequently.
Yes, the beaches have been beautiful. The waves have been decent. The closest beach to us right now is called Majimba. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Majimba. I know last week we talked about how I was on a hot streak of pronouncing all these towns correctly, but I was on the phone with Gabe one day and I could not tell him where we are.
Yeah, because Gabe lived in this area for a semester, and Corey kept going, we're at Majunta, we're at Majunta, and I kept saying Majimba, Majimba, and Corey was listening to me help him and kept repeating, Majunta, Majunta.
It's just like one of those things where it's like there's an M next, or the D, it's like M-U-D-J, and I was like, oh, I don't even know how to say this word. But it's Majimba. It's actually quite easy to say. I don't know. I was just having a mental fog.
It's funny because Gabe was like, I do not know that place.
He lived 20 minutes down the road from here.
No, because you were saying the wrong name. But maybe
I know.
I don't know if he knew the name Majimba.
Yeah, but it's the closest beach to here. So we've been going there a couple days. The first day we went there, it was wicked windy and like we were getting whipped with sand and didn't even go in the water. But we went... I think we've been three times now, or two or three times, and the second time we went, the waves were pretty decent, so I was like, oh, Maxie, you want to go swimming? And she was like, nah, I'm just going to chill outside. But I never had so much fun playing in the waves.
Yeah, Corey gets cold pretty fast, so when he goes in the ocean, usually, like, no longer than 15 minutes does he want to, like, go back in and warm up again, and I was getting concerned past, like, the 20-minute mark.
I was not so concerned. For, like, 40 minutes.
Because he was kind of far away. I couldn't see that well. But he was having so much fun. More likely, I got concerned after the 25-minute mark because that is so unlike Corey. And He comes back definitely a half hour later, and he's like, I want to go back in there. That was so great. That was bath water. That was hectic. That was so much fun.
Oh, the waves were firing. They were pretty big, so I was catching some body surfing. I got tumbled a couple times by the waves. The water was perfect temperature. Like, literally, I didn't want to get out, and the only reason I got out was because I was like, oh, Maxie's probably starting to worry about me. I've been here for so long.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just gorgeous. Well. Like, so fun to be on these beautiful beaches and nice, warm water. Lovely.
And didn't you get flipped, turned, and reversed?
Yeah, I got pitted pretty hard by a wave. I landed on my feet, though.
But it sent him head over handlebars.
Yeah, it
sent me...
No, it's the British term that they say. I think Charlotte was saying, send me tits over ass.
I didn't catch that one, but that is...
Or a below deck term, I've heard it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was so much fun. I kind of want to go swimming every single day now.
Yeah,
it's so enticing because we see the water from here. It's like 15 minutes away. But now we got a pool to swim in, which is even nicer.
Yes, we have lots of good views all around, especially our view of the lightning storm.
Oh my gosh. One night, like, we could see, like, literally see rain surrounding us and just a massive lightning storm that, like, kind of encircled us. So a little bit of a description of kind of what this house is like. We're kind of at the top of a hill that has like 180 degree views on one side and then like a little bit of views on the other side, and to the east is the ocean and to the west is some more mountains and stuff. And so the storm was coming at us from the south, like southeast, so we could have a perfect view of all the lightning. And the lightning went over the water, when it, like, you could see the lightning strikes. You could see the lightning strikes on the mountains to our south. It was pretty amazing for a show.
Yeah, lots of lightning all night long. So, and the next day, when the chickens were free-ranging.
Oh, the lightning started coming down.
Or the thunder, at least. And the chickens went way too far in the yard.
So they get to free range every day while we're watering gardens and stuff. And usually just start watering and they go into like one spot. But today they just like ran off into like the backyard where they never go, almost into the neighbor's yard. And we had to like corral them back. It took so long.
Yeah, that was not today, but you said today. That was scary for me though, because the thunder was coming closer and the chickens refused to go back. And you don't want to scare them. They'll run into the neighbor's yard, or they'll run away, or they'll go deeper under the trees and bushes that you can't crawl under. So, yeah, it took a long time, but we got them back.
Yeah, and you just don't want, like, I don't know. I don't want them to run away. That would be scary.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they're a little flighty.
Yeah, they're afraid of us right now. And they, I don't know, I guess they've started to eat out of my hands and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're warming up. They're chickens. They're not dogs.
Yeah. So I don't really know how much they know with their little tiny brains.
Exactly. But we went to more markets. You guys know we love the markets.
The markets are dummy good around here.
Our favorite one, the Yandina Market. What was it, our third time there?
Our third time there. We decided to go get some fruit, some vegetables, some good stuff there. But who did we see?
Well, it was so funny. We were parking the car in a different lot, because the first two times we parked across the whole fairground on the other side, and we parked in this other lot, and as we're parking we're talking about the last house set in Yamundi and how the host has not reviewed us yet, but she had to go to a different city to go take care of her sick mom. And as we're talking about her, we're getting out of the car, and I see her partner, like her husband. I don't think they're married, but we see him walking, and I said, "Hi, Adam."
It was so funny because it was just like, went to a different parking lot, took way too long to get...
to even get there.
To get, like, out of the car, because I was, like, looking for something, looking for a bag and my phone, and... like, it's just funny how that works out, you know, like...
divine timing.
Yeah, like, you would see someone... that we weren't really supposed to see, or we weren't going to be there at the same time. It's just how funny how things like that work out.
Yeah, and we asked him how Emma was doing, his partner, with her mom. And he gave us, we don't know exactly what's wrong with the mom. We just know she's unwell.
Mm.
So we said, well, we're thinking of Emma. Hope she's doing well with her mom. And yeah. He gave the strangest answer, because I think he must have thought we had details on it.
Yeah.
But we had no idea what he was talking about. What was he saying?
He was like, yeah, you know how it is. She's going off the rails, cutting ties, living loose. Something.
Burning bridges.
Yeah, burning bridges is something he said. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. And then he's like, but Emma's brother arrived yesterday, so we think she's starting to mellow out.
Yeah.
So we were just left very confused, but we're still sending love to that family.
Oh, I miss those doggos. Those are good guys. And so, with speaking of the markets, we talked, there's some interesting characters there. Not as interesting in, like, the most spiritual and, like, hippie markets I think we went to were
The Youngaburra
markets up near Atherton, which were really good. I think they were my favorite markets so far.
The most authentic, spiritual, elevated consciousness market.
Yeah. But there's a trend incoming, or, like, one of the guys we talked to sold bath milk. Could you give a little description on what bath milk is?
Sure. Corey and I just started, we've been dairy-free for a while. I've been dairy-free for years. And we just decided to start trying it again because I am working on overcoming allergies. And it's working. But I decided, hey, I don't like milk in general. But I do know that pasteurized milk is not good for you against popular belief. And we should try raw milk if we're going to have milk.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought this one milk at a health food store, and it was good. No complaints. We drank the whole thing.
Solid.
And we noticed that they sold other raw milk under the name bath milk, but we didn't feel comfortable buying that one because the one that did not say bath milk that was still raw milk was perfectly good for us.
Yeah.
So anyways, we see this man at the Yandina market selling bath milk.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to get some more information and see, like, because I've seen this on Instagram of, like, people talking about raw milk, bath milk, and how it's so good for you, but the FDA suppresses it because it's not treated or anything like that. So we've been talking to this guy, and also RFK actually just tweeted about how he's going to make these raw milk products, like, which are the healthier milk products, more accessible.
Just now, minutes ago.
And so we started talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, this is like, I can't legally say you can drink this milk because then they'll come and take my license away. But we were asking him, and like, I was like, so hypothetically, if you got some in your mouth, how would it taste? And he said, well, hypothetically, if you were like washing your face with it, because it's supposed to be like some sort of cosmetic. And
it's untreated, so you're allowed to use it in face washes and baths.
Yeah. But when they sell it in a milk carton, you know, it's crazy. But
you can't fill up a milk carton with a liter.
Essentially,
or so you can't fill up a bathtub with a liter.
Yeah. Essentially, he was saying, oh, yeah, this is perfectly safe. Basically, the tests that scientists have done on it is you'd have to drink it. Every day for 230,000 years for whatever bacteria to become present. So I don't think I'm going to live to 230,000 years old.
Your soul and spirit will.
Yeah. So they'll have to deal with that.
And we'll be together.
Yes. But we're into bath milk now. It seems good. It tastes perfectly fine. We've been drinking it for a week. And
that sounds so nasty to be like, we're into bath milk now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a deterring name.
But you heard it here first. We're into bath milk.
Yeah, so.
No, but I would like to just put it on the record that this man was so hard to get information out of because Australia, like we said, with their jobs and how you need all those certificates and regulations to just be a waitress or something simple, they our crazy government, I guess, because he was so afraid to give us information. And we were like, no, dude, like, we just drank a bottle of raw milk. Can you just tell us about your bath milk?
Yeah.
And he was so afraid. And finally, by the end of this long, drawn out convo, we basically got our answers that, yes, drink it. It's amazing for you.
Yeah. And he was like, if you were on the farm, I could tell you a lot different stories, basically praising it. So we're bath milk is good for you, and we had some, and it's delicious. But I think, like, if we didn't have the prior knowledge of, like, bath milk is good for you and raw milk is good for you, and we just went up there and had no idea, like, what bath milk was, like, I don't think he would sell a single bottle.
Yeah, I think he should just start speaking the truth and raising the consciousness, collective consciousness in Australia, and he'll have more sales.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, no one's going to arrest you, bro. But right after that, we went to the Fisherman's Market, which is more in the Bly Bly neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah. And that was a massive market. Oh,
the markets here, I think, just run the world.
They go hard. That's how they make their money. We figured out where they were.
Yeah, they work at markets twice a week or once a week, and that's how they... That's what Australians do.
Yes.
It was packed. Like, it usually, I mean, the market probably had 200 tents.
Yeah, too many
250
people.
Tents.
It's really cool when people sell their, like, thrifted vintage clothes or whatever, their consignment clothes. But there was way too many vendors doing that here.
Yeah.
More than 10.
Basically, like, a big garage sale.
Yeah, but also not just that, because there was food and
crafts. Oh, yeah, I picked up some mushrooms, lion's mane mushroom tea. I finished my reishi.
And we, yep.
And, yeah, I picked up some pure lion's mane flower.
We also got ceremonial iced matchas. Well, that's what I got. You got a Vietnamese iced coffee.
Yeah, which was good.
So it was a cool market.
Yeah, I like those markets. Some of the markets I feel like you go to and then you don't have to go to again. And that's one of those I feel like I don't really need to go to again.
Agreed.
I like the Yandina markets, the one that we went to earlier, because they sell a lot of fresh produce and just, like, you could basically go grocery shopping there. They have, like, grass-fed meats and,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of, like,
raw
fresh
cheeses.
Fish. Yeah. Bunch of nice, good things there. So
they were the second most hippie market that we like.
Yeah. And then after, I think, one of the days, we went down to Point Cartwright, which is, like, this lighthouse point headland that we walked around, and it was quite beautiful.
Gorgeous. We actually have gone there a few times now. It's really nice.
Yeah. The first time we went there, we did a little walk around, and on one side, they have the beach and the ocean, and then it's an inlet on the other side, so it's a really pretty harbor with beautiful blue water that has a shallow part that's all sand, so it's like light turquoise blue water, and then tons of boats coming in and out, and lining the beach is like this big grassy area where everyone was on towels laying out, and it was just a perfect little inlet. Everyone was swimming.
I would normally never swim in a harbor, but this was different. This was very Australia. I love when it's a very Australian experience, but laying right on that edge in that small section of grass along the whole walkway was vibes.
Yeah, it was really good vibes. And the first day I didn't have a bathing suit with me, and so we had to come back another day, and we went swimming there, laid out, we brought a little inflatable and floated down the river. It was nice.
And then we got back and told the pool guy Tim, and he goes, lots of sharks there.
Yeah, immediately was like, oh yeah, heaps of sharks. Heaps of sharks, mate.
Yeah, so I said, not in the inlet, not in the harbor area or the marina area. And he goes, oh yeah.
Well, I think Australians want their country to be like this rugged, wild, extreme, which in some parts it is. But like, I've probably seen two more snakes this year than I have in the United States a year.
Nah. Well, I guess we haven't seen that many.
We've only seen like 7 snakes.
Sure. But I don't think I see that many in the US. I've seen so many little spiders though.
True. Yeah.
I am so unaffected by them now for the most part. I'm sure there's some, if they were too close to me, I would probably get nervous. But
it's overcoming.
I really am Is immune the word?
Yeah.
Immune to my reaction of seeing one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've grown. You've strengthened your adversaries.
Adversity?
Yeah, you've gone through adversity here. That's what it is.
No. Yeah, I mean...
Spider adversity.
I'm coming back a bigger person.
Yeah.
And Tim told me that he used to have like a 42-acre hobby farm. And I told him, I want to have a hobby farm. And he said, and he talked to me a lot about it and said, I hope you find a farm. If you if you want it bad enough, you'll find it. Yeah. So I'm going to find a farm. But...
Yeah, and hanging out with the chickens here has been really nice. Like, I don't know, they're fun. One of them, Poachy, the white feathery one, who's the prettiest one, there was one day where they were free ranging, and then all of a sudden, Poachy just sprints back into the
coop.
The coop. Yes, that's what it is. And I was like, oh, maybe she like got startled or spooked by something. And then from that point on, she was just, I thought she had to go lay an egg or something.
Because she was in her little nesting egg laying area. They have two spots for two chickens to go at the same time to lay an egg. And she was just there.
She was there for like a full day.
Yeah. And then she was there later. And then I started to get worried about her. And then she was there at night. Didn't move a single muscle.
Yeah, so we got a little worried, and then in the morning we went and asked Tim, because he had the hobby farm, he had all the animals and stuff, and we're like, oh, are you good with chickens? Like, this chicken hasn't moved at all. And then what did he say?
He said, oh, she's just a pretty hen, mate. No worries.
She's clucky right now.
She's just being clucky.
And I had no idea what that means. But then he was just like, oh, yeah, she wants to be a mom. Like, she's going to sit on her egg every single minute until she's a mom. Like, she's just being clucky.
Yeah, she wants babies. And so it was funny hearing Corey talk to Tim, because I was inside listening. And Corey had no idea where this conversation was going, and it was just funny. But I kind of had an idea as soon as he said broody, because I was doing a ton of Googling the night before because I was so worried about her. I thought she was dying.
No.
I really thought she was dying. She wouldn't move. She looked depressed.
She did look depressed, yeah.
So Corey was unbothered and I was stressed. So when he started to say those words, I recognized them from some of my Google searches, but he had to really spell it out for Corey.
Yeah, and he seemed excited to talk about it. It was pretty funny hearing him say that. And ever since then, he's just like, oh yeah, you just got to pick her up and like put her outside and then she'll eat and do whatever. But she's just really focused on that right now, so you can pick her up and do that. And before, she wouldn't let us touch her, but now I've been picking her up every day and moving her outside, and Maxie picked her up too.
Yeah, so cute. They're very determined because she thinks that she's gonna have a baby if she just doesn't move a muscle and sits on her eggs. But
yeah, but she doesn't even have an egg. I took the egg.
We had to take it because that's just what you have to do. And she hasn't laid another one.
No.
But she's very determined.
She just wants to sit there.
She keeps going back.
Yeah, and so that's kind of been our routine. We let the chickens out. We do some watering. But one day it got really windy.
No, well, not really. So we've been keeping these plants alive, believe it or not, after all my stress. But I have been overwatering all the indoor plants. They just leak all over the floor and everything. Haven't really grown much there in understanding how to not overwater potted indoor plants. But the outdoor plants... no sign
thriving.
Of overwatering. Yeah, they are thriving.
Garden is thriving.
There was a gentle breeze as I was watering. Corey and I go in whole different areas of the yard because the yard's pretty big and we have lots of plants to water.
Yeah.
And I just get smacked in the chest bone with something. And I scream, ow, just naturally. It was really hard. And so I look down and I see a stick. And I think, Corey wouldn't have thrown that out at me, but... because it's a stick, it's not like a little acorn. But I look over to the side and he looks
40 yards away.
Yeah, Corey's 40 yards away being a little suspicious. So I said, did you throw this at me? And he said, no.
And I'm suspicious. I was just watering the garden.
And I think it just came out of the tree, but the tree was a massive tree, so it fell like quite a distance.
Yeah, and you got a pretty decent cut. Yeah, I was shocked to see that you're like cut like that. That was wild.
It caught me, but then... my first thought, I think, before I jumped to Corey, my first thought was that it might have been a Bigfoot, because Bigfeet are known to throw things at people.
Yes, they are known to do that. But it was just a stick, thankfully. We are almost in Bigfoot territory now.
We are in it, right?
Yeah, we are in it, but I think we're a little too close to the ocean now. Well, I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe we'll see one.
But we're in their area.
Yeah, so it really could have been a little yowie.
Yeah.
Here we listen to some podcasts about, they have the normal Bigfoot, but then they also have like a 3-foot Bigfoot. Like a little Bigfoot, a mini Bigfoot, which is really interesting. And it's like candid. It's canon. You know, it's not, it's like they exist. Like people talk about them like, yeah, they're real.
Yeah, we even asked Tim and he had a discussion with us.
Yeah, he's a believer.
Of the Yowies.
Yes, and we've been hanging out with Tim. We've been, Tim's my best friend now, I think. I miss him. He didn't show up today yet, but.
Corey goes outside so frequently to chat with him. But the pool is done now. So we swam in it before they put their chemicals in. They haven't come to put the chemicals in yet.
Well, so. It's like they just put salt and stuff in it.
Or magnesium, the lady said. So we've gone for a couple of swims, a celebratory swim.
Yeah, celebratory swimming. It's gorgeous. The pool looks like, I took a picture of it last night. It looks phenomenal, the pool. Like, crazy how much of a difference it makes to have like this beautiful thing instead of like a messy work site.
Yeah.
So doing some swimming. Can't wait to go swimming today. And yeah.
We did a couple workouts too down at the bars. Corey calls them Bars of Glory and I call them Bars of Gloom.
I love the bars. That's like, I stopped working out inside at gyms. And I started doing like pull-up workouts and stuff. And I hadn't had them in a while. So now I'm back. Absolutely getting after it. Getting stronger every day. We got killer leg workout today.
Getting shredded.
Getting shredded, yes. Yeah. What do you think of the bars?
I hate them. I don't like the ones that are above my head, basically. The ones that are near my waist height, I like.
And the dip bars, yeah, you like those.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, and then we watched some of the election stuff, and
it was honestly such a good day yesterday. Sorry for anyone listening that doesn't agree, but we had so much fun.
Yeah, it was really cool because, I mean, normally back in the States, you have to be up at, like, 3 in the morning watching to see who won. But we were, like, sitting down before dinner and we were like, oh, they declared it, Trump won, let's go, that's so awesome. And then we watched his speech, which was cool to see.
Crying core memories.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And as we're, I think after dinner we got notified that we finally got a review from our last house sit, and we've been anxiously waiting because you guys know we broke their door. Well, the wind broke their door. And we shrunk their
I shrunk one of their floor mats because I put it in the dryer. I really thought that, I never knew that things shrink in the washing machine or in the dryer. I always thought like, oh yeah, be careful when you wash things, that's when they shrink. But Maxie said the dryer is where things shrink.
Yes. So we were like, they loved us, but maybe they'll give us like a 4-star review or who knows, because we did have a few mishaps. And so finally her review came in and I clicked it and I just bursted out laughing.
So funny. You should read it.
Okay, I'll read it. So it was all across the board 5 stars. And this, I guess I'll read the whole thing quickly. Emma wrote, "My partner and I concur with all of Maxie and Corey's reviews except Clarissa's. They are a truly lovely couple who clearly love animals. It was so lovely to meet and spend time with them the night before we left and hear about their travels. Our dogs clearly loved them and were spoilt with morning and evening cuddles in bed. They had permission to do this. We had regular updates with photos and could see how happy our dogs were. They were very responsive when we communicated prior to their arrival. We came home to a spotless house and all my plants were doing well. I couldn't recommend them highly enough as house sitters."
So we're back, baby. We got a 5-star review, and we got someone to diss Clarissa, our last house owner. So it's just like the best win-win situation.
Oh, Trusted House Sitters, this annoying company finally took out Clarissa's lie about how we didn't walk the dogs and she would howl all day and whatever. They took out that whole paragraph and they just left it as like, Maxine and Corey are a nice couple. They lost my cat. They need more experience. And then left all the stars the same because they didn't feel comfortable changing her stars and like changing how she feels, the host. But they knew that she initiated changing the review and they knew that she admitted to lying about the dog part. And so they went in and removed it for us, but was kind of rude about changing anything else. So it almost looks worse now that it's like, it looks worse now that it's like, Max and Corey were cool. They lost my cat. They need more experience. And then it's like 2 stars for cleanliness. Before you could see that she was kind of being retaliatory and passive aggressive, but there's less context now. But they gave me an opportunity to write a new response to it since they took out half her review. So I'll have to send them in a new response that says like the company updated this review and took out most of the lies and
it's just tough to be
if they do that for me. Smart reply that kind of disses the company too for not changing the stars because whatever. But that's so funny that Emma wrote that because we never discussed this review with her. We never discussed the last house sit with her. So shout out to
Emma. She like came to this conclusion on her own, which is so awesome to see.
Yeah.
And just like it validates us because we know that was ridiculous. And now without even telling her like our side of the story, she sees that that was ridiculous of a review. Like crazy.
Love her. Love them.
So thank you, Emma and Adam, for that great review.
Thank you, Emma and Adam.
And the news around here is there's a heat wave coming. So good thing they just finished the pool because we will be swimming in it. I think it's supposed to be like 38 tomorrow Celsius.
I don't even know what that means.
No, it's going to be like 95 tomorrow, I think. So we'll be swimming away. And
Happy summer.
And we also have some more exciting news besides our good review, besides the pool. We are so excited to announce that we have a new member of the family that's going to be joining us. This is something that Maxie and I have wanted for a long time now, and we think we're both ready for it. So we are really happy to announce that we are bringing into our lives a baby puppy. Yes, we put a deposit down on a dog that's going to be joining us in January or February when we get back. So after a year of house sitting for other dogs, we are really, really, really excited to have a dog of our own when we get back to the States.
Yes, we are certainly ready for that.
Yeah, so all you people who think I was saying something else, what are you guys thinking about? Yeah, so super excited. We found a nice company. I've been doing so much searching around for dogs and stuff. So yeah, hopefully we're really excited and yeah.
Yeah, thanks to Corey, because I have put in really no effort into this because he wanted a bred dog more than I wanted a bred dog, and that's fine with me. If he feels passionate about it, then he did the research and he found the perfect one, and
yeah,
I'm so excited.
Absolutely beautiful dog, so we're super excited for that. Yeah, and so that's something to really look forward to for when we get home, get settled, and yes, it's going to be like hopefully January, or I think it's supposed to be in between January and February. She has a bunch of litters planned, so we'll see which one we get.
Yay!
Super exciting, and thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Good Day podcast. I was going to say part of my take.
Oh my God. Well, it's been a really fun few days recently. So
yes. And next week, well, we're leaving here in 3 days. So we're going to be on the road again. We're going to go down to the Gold Coast, Byron Bay, do some fun stuff. Yeah. Super exciting. 1 month and a couple days left of traveling and then we're back.
Yay. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Have a good day.